Hello, my name is Lisa Elvin Stoltore, and this is my channel, At Roots, We'll Travel. I am a genealogist and a passionate traveler. Over the last year, I've been doing biographies of Les Filles du Roi, the King's Daughters, who are the founding mothers, in my opinion, of North America. And we are getting to know each and every one of them. What started out as a really personal project of me just doing my great-grandmothers has ended up with me exploring all Les Filles du Roi. And so it's been a great project, and it continues to be. And there are 700 of them, and we're number 83. So you do the math. We will be doing this for a little while. Now, I also want to draw your attention that I do have a website called Have Roots Will Travel. And on that website, I have the links to all of the previous episodes. So if you're looking for a particular Filles du Roi that I may have already done, that might be the easiest way to have a look at it. You can also write to me, lisa@haverootswilltravel.com. I have a Facebook page as well, Have Roots Will Travel. Give that a shot. And also, if you want to just place a comment, you can just do it right here on the video. And I get an alert that says that someone has placed a comment. Speaking of alerts, I just want to make sure that you know, press that subscribe button if this is something you would like to do. And also click on the notifications alert so that you get alerted when I post new content, which right now is about twice a week. It may go to three, but for right now it's twice. And with that being said, let's get started and find out who is our Filles du Roi for this episode. Les Filles du Roi was a program begun in 1663 under Jean Talon. I go into great detail about this in a video I did called Les Filles du Roi, the program 2.0. Have a look at that. And if you want to know more information about, you know, how it was, how and why it was originated. And it gives you some idea of what your ancestor would have gone through as well. For episode number 83, we have Catherine Pila, and she is a viewer request, but she's also, once I looked in my files, the great-grandmother of my of the boy next door's wife, and she is also the great-grandmother of my best friend's daughter. So with that being said, let's get to know Catherine a little bit more. So Catherine was born in 1650 in the parish of Notre-Dame-de-Cogne. She was baptized at Sainte-Marguerite, which is in La Rochelle. This is part of the bigger part of La Rochelle. And La Rochelle was founded during the 10th century and became an important harbor in the 12th. Until the 15th century, La Rochelle was to be the largest French harbor on the Atlantic coast, dealing mainly in wine, salt, and cheese, all my favorites. The name was first recorded in 961, so it's been around for a long time. And it comes from the Latin meaning little rock. La Rochelle was has one of the richest histories in all of France, because from its beginnings is an area where the Knights of Templar had their strongest base. And Eleanor of Aquitaine married Henry Plantagenet in 1152, who would become King of England as Henry II in 1154, thus putting La Rochelle under Plantagenet rule, which meant Protestant, until Louis VIII captured it in the 1224 siege of La Rochelle. So that was about 75 years later. During the Plantagenet control of the city in 1185, Henry had the Vauclair Castle built, remains of which are still visible at the Place de Vendôme. So just amazing that kind of, where it kind of the English and the French history merge. From 1568 on, La Rochelle became a center for Huguenots. In terms of them being, they would escape here and then ultimately had to be expelled from this area. It was in La Rochelle that the revolts occurred and created the uprising that would become known as the Siege of La Rochelle, 1627. Throughout the 1600s, the Huguenots were expelled constantly from La Rochelle. Do we know if Catherine was a Huguenot? We do not know that. She was baptized in a one of the churches that was used by the Protestants. So we don't know. But just very fascinating to know, how her journey emerged and that she was from this particular area. Her father was a master weaver. His name was Pierre Pila, and her mother's name was Marguerite Moulinet. And so she did come from some means. So that part we do know. So let's get to know why she came to New France. So Catherine would embark on Le Phoenix de Flesange, which was the first boat. She was 13 years old. There is no evidence that her parents were dead or alive. I don't know. What's interesting to note, as we discuss the issue of whether or not she was Protestant or not, it is possible that they sent her away to protect her. There was a lot going on at that time. I have not personally seen the document, but according to Peter J. Gagne's book, she was confirmed, which would mean that she was confirmed in the Catholic Church in the following year, 1664. So that gives me a clue as to why she would come so early on. So let's have a look at who she ends up marrying and when. So the groom that she would eventually select, his name was Pierre Charles de Ducharme, and he was born in 1639, making him about 11 years older than her. He was born in the parish of Saint-Martin in Meaux, France. His parents were Pierre Charles, who was a master tanner, and Judith Martin. So where is this place? Well, it's situated in the loop of the Marne River, and it is an incredibly agricultural area, has been since medieval times. The most outstanding building, Saint-Étienne Cathedral, is probably the one where he would have been baptized. And it's pictured here on your left. On the bottom is just kind of like the river as it, or the place as it exists right now. And then I put a map in with a little red dot so you can see where it is. From 923 to 1361, it belonged to the Counts of Champagne. Meaux was the first diocese in France to shelter, again, Protestant reformers during the Wars of Religion in the late 16th century, and was much fought over. And it was the scene of some of the massacres of the Huguenots on St. Bartholomew's Day in 1572. So again, we have this Protestant theme going on. And so it is definitely right now, Meaux is a fairly large place, got about 53,000 people. And I suspect back then it was not a village, it was a center of influence, if you will. So it's kind of interesting that he also came from kind of a place where the Huguenots were having issues. So October 19th, 1665, Catherine would have been in New France by 2 years by then. She would be then 15 and Pierre would be 26. This is their marriage license and this is where they would have been married in Montreal. So the family would then settle in Montreal. This is where they got married. Let's talk a little bit about Montreal, this wonderful city that would become Montreal. Started off as Ville-Marie by the founder, Paul de Chomedey, Sieur de Maisonneuve, and was essentially a missionary center in May of 1642. The colony would not thrive, and it was on the verge of extinction when Chomedey decided to return to France to recruit 100 settlers, which would be known eventually as La Grande Recrue. The Great Recruitment. From this small group would evolve the Notre Dame congregation from Sister Marguerite Bourgeois. When Montreal was founded, the new colonists were rapidly confronted by a fearsome enemy, the Iroquois. Unfortunately, there was no regular army in Montreal until 1665, when the Carignan-Salyer regiment landed here. In the meantime, militias capable of resisting Iroquois attacks were set up. In 1663, Chomedey de Maisonneuve created the Saint-Famille Militia to protect Ville-Marie, and it was definitely something that would have been part of what Pierre would have been part of. So the family that they built, they had 12 children. Catherine would marry François Chagnon de la Rose and have 7 children, 5 of whom reached adulthood. She then married Daniel Titroux and had 4 children, all of whom made it to adulthood. Marie Charlotte married Claude-Louis Lemaire and had 2 children. She then both of whom survived. She then married Raymond Vigard and had 6 children, all of whom made it to adulthood. Antoinette de Anne married Pierre Goyet and had 6 children, 5, all of whom made it to adulthood. Pierre married Madeleine Robin and had 9 children, 7 of whom made it to adulthood. Thérèse married Jacques Hubert and had 1 child, who made it to adulthood. And then she married Antoine Piet and had another child, who also made it to adulthood. Nicolas married Marie Vieux and had 12 children, 11 of whom made it to adulthood. François married Marguerite Piet and had 10 children, all of whom made it to adulthood. Catherine married Guillaume Adam and had 4 children, all of whom made it to adulthood. Hélène would marry Charles Edeline and had 10 children, 3 of whom made it to adulthood. Jean married Marie-Madeleine Gertin and had 7 children, all of whom made it to adulthood. He then would marry Geneviève Boucher and have 1 more child, who also made it to adulthood. Louise married Michel Collin de La Liberté and had 6 children, all of whom made it to adulthood. And Marie-Jeanne married François Boutet and had 4 children, all of whom made it to adulthood. In case you're counting, this is an astonishing 78 grandchildren born, like actually living. Dad would die on Christmas Day in 1700 at the relatively young age of 61. He and Catherine would have been married 35 years at that time. Catherine did not remarry right away. And when she did, she chose a man who was significantly younger than her. At the age of 55, she married Sébastien Brissot, who was 38. Just gotta love her. So she would pass away at the age of 68 on the 23rd of July, 1717. And she lived a remarkable life. She died in Montreal. But I just want to share with you, by 1729, she would have, based on all the children she and Pierre would have had, she would have had 254 descendants. I cannot wait to see if many of you who are watching this are a descendant of this lady as well. Just a remarkable, remarkable story of, you know, coming here at such a young age and just being one of those pioneers and surviving. 68 at that age and with that many children was a remarkable feat. I want to point out to you the legacy continues. L'association des Charons et du Charme. I believe it says that the society ceased to exist, but the website still goes on. So have a look at that. I've included the link as well. Just because it's amazing the work that they did. I want to share with you some of the resources I use for Les Filles du Roi research in particular. First one I use is La Société des Filles du Roi et Soldats du Carignan. It's an amazing group, a society that has been going on since 1994 actually. And I am a member and also the membership chairperson at the moment. And would heartily recommend that you have a look at it. See, and certainly there are things you can use even as a non-member. Have a look and see what if this is something you'd like to join. The next one I use is a fairly new one to me. It is a Facebook group called Les Filles du Roi Descendants. Remarkable, they have over 5,000 members right now. And the third is a website I use called Migration, which is remarkable. And they have information on the boats and on the Filles du Roi, on the Carignan soldiers, just all kinds of information that you might need. So have a look at that. And so we end episode 83, our wonderful story of Catherine Pilat and Pierre Charon de Ducherme. And they have the honor of being the number 2 descendants in that famous study at 1729. They had 254 descendants, making them the number 2 spot. But the number 1 spot was from someone who actually did not give birth in Quebec. She brought over a son who in turn, so that would have been number one, Anne Lemaître. So Catherine Pilla, really, in my mind, is the number one in the sense of she gave birth to all these children in Quebec, and so they are 254 descendants as of 1729. I can only imagine how many descendants are there now. Their influence is, I'm sure, still felt today from the areas in Montreal where they would have resided. And the fact that she, you know, made her way here from, you know, the age of 13 and built this life and survives. We owe her a great debt. And she is an inspiration, absolutely. And with that, I will bid you adieu, and I'll see you on episode number 84. Until then, au revoir.